Hello and welcome to the program. Today we're going to do something a little different than what we've been doing. We've been having two different sessions. One is strength for today, and the other one is study for today. As I was studying in the book of Colossians, I came to the conclusion that we need to look at this in more depth. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put strength for today and study for today together in one, and we're going to look at the book of Colossians much more depth because of the situation that we are living in today. We are definitely facing the last mile of the way. As I mentioned in a previous program, we can be facing the last mile of the way because of our age, physically. Or whether you're a young Christian, a sincere Christian, and you're trying to serve the Lord, maybe you're only 23 years old, you're still on the last mile of the way. We are at the end of the age. The things that are happening now are happening so fast that it has to be that time when Jesus said, when these things happen one after the other, lift up your redemption draweth nigh. In the meantime, what are we to do as we go down this pathway, this last mile of the way, and things in this world are falling apart? What are we to do? Well, one thing basically we should be doing is praying this prayer: have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. And so before we begin this study, Let's sing this together to the Lord. Make it your prayer today. Have thine own way, Lord. Thank you. as we get into the book of Colossians, there's a very interesting verse here. Chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul said, "I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea." Now, the church at Colossae and the church at Laodicea were only a few miles apart. Paul had never been to this church in Colossae, as it indicates from other writings that we have in the Word of God. But he had a great conflict for that church at Colossae and the one at Laodicea. Now, we know the story of the Laodicean church, and it's one of the seven churches where God did not have anything good to say about that church. The reason he had a conflict for these churches was because of the influence of the false doctrine, which is dealt with in this first chapter. Now, what we need to figure out during this great conflict is our conduct. How are we to respond in this age of Laodicean fundamentalism? And that's where we are today. You call yourself a fundamentalist if you want to, but that term doesn't mean anything anymore. What was a fundamentalist even 5 years ago and what is a fundamentalist today has very, very little, if anything, in common. Now, our conduct is the manner in which a person behaves, especially on a particular occasion or in a particular context. So as we go down the last mile of the way, as we travel through life until we hear the trumpet and the Lord comes, how are we to behave in this situation? It's very, very important. As we get into the book of Colossians, we have warnings concerning the false doctrine that was being presented in that day, and it's being presented today. We have false doctrine flooding into our local churches, and the Colossians situation here as we go through this book, it's right up to date. We'll see that it is a course of conduct in how we ought to behave in this age in which we are living. In chapter 1 and 2, it deals with doctrine, and that has to do with what we need to know. In chapter 3 and 4, it deals with our duty, and that has to do with what we need to do. Now, in Colossians 1:18, the bottom line for all of this is that in all things he, that is Christ, might have the preeminence. In chapter 1, it focuses on the person of Christ. In chapter 2, it focuses on our position in Christ. And then in chapter 3 and 4, our practice to be Christ-like and how we can do that. Now, a practice, according to the dictionary here, is the actual application or use of a belief or method as opposed to theories relating to it. We have a lot of theories, we have a lot of things we say we believe, but do we really practice what we say we believe? The Bible is very plain. Isaiah 30:21 says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." But the first time we find the word discouraged in the Bible is in Numbers 21, where we read the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now it says the soul of the people. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, we need to face the facts. To face the facts is to confront and deal with a difficult or an unpleasant fact or a situation. We can bury our head in the sand, pretend there's no problem, then we're going to get in trouble. The fact is, 2 Timothy 3:1, the Bible says this, know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. So, we need to face the fact, and the fact is, we're into those perilous times, and they are here now, and they are going to get much worse. we can go through our regular little church services, you know, sing, pray, sing, announcements, offering, preach a nice little sermonette that'll make everybody feel good, and they'll go home nice little Christianettes, and we can bury our head in the sand as to what's going on around us, but it's time to wake up. There's three pastors in Alberta who've been in prison lately because if they had a church service, their churches have been fenced off and the government has confiscated them. Where are we in? China? Are we in Russia? What is going on here? We need to face the facts. This is Canada, and perilous times are here, and they're going to get much worse. What should we be doing about it? What's a perilous time? It means to be exposed to imminent risk. That's where we are today. Now, a problem that we face, a problem is a situation regarded as unwelcome or harmful and needing to be dealt with and overcome. What do we do? What is our problem? Number one, the world, the problem is anarchy. The world is out of control on a crash course. Anarchy and immorality. Christianity, the problem is apostasy. Apostasy. What is apostasy? Well, that's when people change God's word and make it say what they want it to say. Well, who would do that? Oh, Jack Hiles did and Curtis Hudson did, two fundamental independent Baptists who changed the plan of salvation. Yeah, they said, oh, you don't need to repent. You can't get a crowd. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about when he said repent. How are you going to get a crowd? He talked about, you know, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And they crucified him, so let's not get crucified. Let's get a crowd. It doesn't get any more apostate than changing the plan of salvation. We need to get our heads out of the fundamental independent Baptist sandbox and wake up to what is going on around us here. We are living in an age of apostasy. And again, apostasy is no more rank than somebody changing the plan of salvation. But oh, we're living in an age. You know, some years ago, somebody said to me, if you say anything negative about Billy Graham, you can't be my friend. Recently, a fundamental independent Baptist pastor said to me, if you say anything negative about Jack Hiles, you can't be my friend. Oh, yeah, we're going to be fundamentalists. We don't have any hair on our ears and on our collars, and we'll fellowship with anybody who changes the plan of salvation. But if he's got a little bit of long hair, now don't misunderstand me. What the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. What I'm saying is we, fundamental, independent, Baptist, pastors, will fellowship with someone who changes the plan of salvation, refuse to expose him because he's a Baptist or a fundamentalist, whatever that means anymore. It doesn't get any more apostate than fellowshipping with someone who changes the plan of salvation. Are we going to wake up? No, we're not. We're not, but we're going to have a remnant. We've always had a remnant all the way through the Word of God. And in that remnant, the problem that we're facing is apathy. They changed the plan of salvation, but I don't care. Now, what we need to do is what Paul prayed when he first got saved. He said in Acts 9:6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? What should our response be? Now, this is very important. The Bible says we are a three-part being. We are spirit, soul, and a body. The phrase, my soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, is in the Word of God 169 times. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul, that is, my mind, my will, and my emotions. He also said in Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Romans 8 and 16, the Bible says the Spirit himself, the Spirit is not an it. This is very plain. It's been translated himself 58 times. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. So what happens is the Holy Spirit, if we're going to let the Holy Spirit have control, he's going to minister to our spirit, and then in turn our spirit should minister to our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our problem today is we've just rejected that spirit part, and we make our decisions in the energy of the emotions. How do I feel about this? Oh, if I take this particular stand, then, oh, you can't be my friend anymore. Is that what we're worrying about? Let's get concerned about what Jesus thinks. And so the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're on the last mile of the way. We need strength for today. The dictionary says strength is the ability to withstand pressure, the qualities necessary in dealing with difficult situations. Now, if we're going to have that strength for today, we need to take this verse seriously, 1 Kings 19:7, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. We need to get into the Word of God. And the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are always in total harmony. And Jesus said, when the Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. So our question is, what should we be doing in this age of apostasy? He's not going to guide one pastor into this truth and one pastor into that truth and one father into this one and one mother into that one. We need to get serious about getting in the Word of God, letting the Word of God get in us, asking the Holy Spirit to direct us in all truth as he promised he would do, and forget about the peer pressure of what our friends think. And so the Holy Spirit deals with our spirit, and in turn, our spirit should dictate to our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, from whence comes the actions that we will take. And so we have pressure, and we have strength. Pressure is the use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation to make someone do something. Well, we're getting a lot of that today in our Baptist churches. Are you going to do what Caesar says to do, or you're going to end up in jail like Paul the Apostle? That's exactly what happened to him. He said, Jesus is Lord. They said, no, Caesar's Lord. No, you're going to the dungeon. All right, we're there again. We're in those perilous times that the Bible talked about. So we need the strength. We need the emotional or mental qualities necessary in dealing with a situation or events that are distressing or difficult. Well, that's where we are today. So the bottom line is this. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. What we need to do is let the Holy Spirit have absolute sway and guide us into all truth, and then we'll be able to figure out what to do. So we're going to go through this book of Colossians. We're going to take it verse by verse and go through and see what kind of conduct we should be doing in this Laodicean age that we're living in. Make this your prayers. We conclude for today. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.